Okay, this one says, I don't trust myself with money. When I have it, I'm uncomfortable. How can I change this? I would, first of all, this is the kind of guy I am, just give it to me. Because I'm super comfortable with it. Good, money, good. Money's good, I like money. Again, that's it goes back to what's in your head. And that's why I love doing Journey, because we can spend 6-8 hours proving to you through a series of exercises a lot of the stuff that got in your head. Think about this, okay? Computer. You could have a computer that's got massive possibilities, but the information that goes into a computer, have you ever heard the expression garbage in, garbage out? So the way most times information gets programmed in the computer is with a keyboard. So who had your keyboard the first 15 years of your life? It's a terrifying thought. Or the first 30 or 40 years. Here, let me give you a great example. My dad just passed away this past year, and I couldn't have been closer to my dad. He was 93 years old. Love my dad, love my mom. They both passed within the last year, which has been very difficult. But the point I'm trying to make is, as much as I love my dad, and we talked openly about this over the years, one of the things he taught me as I was growing up was that I need to avoid life's peaks and valleys. He must have told me that 500 times. You got it. And he was trying to be a great dad. Son, avoid life's peaks and valleys. Avoid life's peaks and valleys. Avoid life's. Now, what was he trying to say? He was trying to say that when some people, you know, life can be like a roller coaster ride, right? You're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. What he was trying to say is avoid life's valleys. Get it? Like, why would you avoid life's peaks? Like, what the hell? Like, for a long time there, I thought Eva Longoria was very beautiful. Could you imagine? I'm walking through the casino. I'm married now, of course. But if I was walking through the casino and I saw Eva Longoria and she goes, hey, you're kind of cute. You want to take me to dinner? I'm sorry. That would be a peak. I'm sorry, Miss Longoria. I was too much of a peak. I can't go there. I was wanting to play baseball for the New York Yankees. Well, come on down. You can play today. No, I'm sorry. That would be a peak. I mean, you. And then I went to see someone who said, all I do in my whole life is search for peaks. I want to have as many peak experiences before I die so that when I die, you know, your life's supposed to flash before your eyes. It's going to be the best damn movie I've ever seen. The flash that's going to go before my eyes is going to be the most remarkable thing, because I'm going to have so many peak experiences that I've experienced that are going to go through my mind. So again, understand the unconscious mind. My dad said, live here. My mentor said, screw that, live here. Forget that. You don't want to be down here, but that's average. Do you know that in the dictionary, you know how a dictionary has multiple definitions of a word? Some dictionaries, not all, some dictionaries, if you get to like fourth definition of average, it says the highest degree of poor. Think about that for a moment. So if you're average, you're the highest degree of poor, meaning you're phenomenal at being pathetic. You're exceptional at being horrible. You're the best at being the worst. And the problem, the big problem is, if you look in a thesaurus for synonyms of average, of average is normal. Normal and average are very on the same level, and everyone wants to be normal. If God forbid you're weird, if you're different, and again, Steve Jobs, I just got done telling you, used to put his feet in a toilet. Now, I'm not suggesting you stick your feet in a toilet tonight, and I'm pretty damn sure I'm not going to do it. But the point is, quit trying. What's the expression? Why are you trying so hard to fit in when you were born to stand out? I mean, it just, you know what I mean? It's like some of the greatest ideas in the world were insanity when they first came along. Like, again, just this whole phone thing. This is obviously a part of wireless communication. When Marconi came out with wireless communication back in the day, his family promptly had him institutionalized, because he was thinking that you could communicate with each other without a hard wire. This is back almost 250 years ago. His family threw him away. If Thomas Edison was your neighbor, and you know, you chill out and you go, hey, Mr. Edison, what are you up to? He goes, I'm in my basement you know, working on something. You go, oh, what are you working on? Oh, I'm creating something called the light bulb. Now, of course, there's no such thing. And you go, what's a light bulb? Well, it's this piece of glass, and on the inside, when you flip a switch, it'll turn on your whole light. You won't need candles anymore. And, well, really? How long have you been working on that? Well, you know, about 8 years. So is it working? Well, I've made 10,000 light bulbs that haven't worked, but I'm sure at some point it's going to work out. Again, would you go home and go, wow, Mom, Mr. Edison's a genius? Or do you go, Mr. Edison's an idiot? I mean, it's taken him 10,000 times. How many times would you and I try something before we give up on it? I remember once seeing my first concert years ago, Ted Nugent. God, I'm really dating myself. If you don't know who Ted Nugent is, don't even worry. So Cat Scratch Fever, that was the first song. I was at Madison Square Garden, and I ran home and I was like, Mom, I need a guitar. I need a guitar. Mom and Dad, I need a guitar. I need a guitar. You got to buy me. And they're like, no, we didn't have any money. They're like, an electric guitar, even a cheap electric guitar was $150, $200. They're like, forget about it. No way, no how. And I just wore them out. And finally, they bought me the guitar. I plugged it in, and I started to play it. Two things happened after approximately 5 minutes. Number one, it was very clear to me that my playing ability was not equal with Ted Nugent. Didn't sound quite the same. Number two, my fingers were like almost on fire. I know many of you play air guitar. Your fingers never hurt when you play air guitar, but when you press these little strings down on a hard wooden fret of a guitar, it hurts like hell until you develop calluses on your fingers. So I played, it hurt, and I sucked. I'm like, I'm going to do it again tomorrow. I played, it hurt, I sucked. I played, it hurt, I sucked. Then someone came over and said, I'll teach you. And they started teach me how to play Puff the Magic Dragon. Have you heard of that song? And I'm just sitting there going, I don't want to play Puff the Magic Dragon. Ted Nugent wasn't playing Puff the Magic Dragon. So I just finally said, screw it. It took less than a week for me to put the guitar in a corner and never touch it again. I quit. I gave up. I got frustrated and given up. How many people get frustrated and they give up? Edison, 10,000 times. And when they asked him, they literally asked him that question, don't you feel like a failure? He goes, no, because I've successfully found 10,000 ways not to do it. Now, that's a different way of looking at it, you know what I mean? But I guess if you eliminate every way not to do something, eventually you're going to find out whatever the ways are to do it. But that's a really big part, guys. When I first got started doing and became successful, the three rules I learned were pay attention, get excited, and never quit. And, you know, those rules really are universal laws. You want to lose 30 pounds, they'll work. You want to learn how to speak a new language, those laws will work. You want to learn how to be a great snow skier, they'll work. Pay attention, get excited, never quit. Pay attention, get excited, never quit. Pay attention. Now, that sounds really, really simple, but let me explain and show you it's not quite as simple as maybe you think. Pay attention. First of all, most people don't pay attention. We daydream our way through things. So even if you have an absolute expert in front of you telling you exactly how to do something, most of you won't pay attention. You're in and out. We have the most ADD society in the history of the world. You know, I heard one on the way out saying, you know, I didn't answer my phone. Well, I'm not going to answer my phone while Mark's talking. I'm like, wow, hallelujah. God bless you. Because most people, you know, they would be at lunch with Mark Cuban on their phone. When I was at lunch with Mark, let me tell you something. When I was at lunch with Mark Cuban, I asked questions and then shut up. I could ramble for hours. I think you figured that one out. I could talk with the best of them. But I was also had the privilege of meeting George Zimmer, the guy who founded the Men's Warehouse. I was around him a couple times. First men's clothing store in the history of the world to do over $1 billion in retail sales. So I was with him in his house in Hawaii. Sick. Like, you can't even believe this house. I think there were 2-acre lots right on a beach, and he didn't want to buy the house and then not like his neighbor, so he just bought all 8 lots. That's when you know you got some cash. So he built this stupid house, and we were sitting there, and we were in his library, and I remember I was asking, what are your favorite books and why? And again, it amazes me how many people run their mouth when they're around people that are more successful. When you open your mouth, you can only learn things that you already know. Think about that one for a minute. So I love being around people more successful than me. If you're not around a lot of people that are more successful than you, I strongly recommend you change your peer group. You know what I mean? There's nothing that's more exciting than being around. There's people that I'm friends with that when I'm with them, they make me nervous. They're so smart. When I play golf, I try to play golf with people that are so much better than me. I get nervous about not wanting to suck in front of them because they're so good. And I know if I play maybe like I play sometimes, they'll be rolling their eyes going, what'd we play with this guy for? I like to be around people that are better than me because it normally gets me to be better. As a matter of fact, golf's a great example. The way I am in golf is if I play with a bunch of guys who stink in golf and they just want to drink beer, which is cool. That's what some people go to a golf course for. I will play horrible. If I play with someone who's an exceptional golfer, I won't play exceptional, but I'll play really well. I just play up to the level of what my competition is. So again, being in a peer group, pay attention. Find someone who has what you want and just do what they do. For years and years and years, I was into every sport you could possibly imagine until like 27. I played sports every day, every day, every day. Then I got involved in business, and my mentor said, you want to be wealthy, something's got to go. So if, you know, 5 years of getting after it, you can go work out later. I was like, okay, whatever it takes. So for 5 years, I didn't work out at all. And I also worked till 10 or 11 every night. And then usually we were so tired and worn out and hungry, we'd go and eat at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And that was before I knew about debits and credits. So I was eating like junky food at 11 o'clock at night every night. And if you go and talk to a nutritionist, they probably won't tell you to take in 1,500 calories of pasta right before you go to bed. Not the best plan. So again, because I was in good shape for many years, it was slow but sure. I put on about 3 pounds a year, every year for about 9 years. So then all of a sudden I looked in front of the mirror and like, what the hell? So I got frustrated enough, I went to a gym. Here's the funny thing, I went to a gym and I looked around a gym for a personal trainer. Now, three of the personal trainers in a gym I was in were fat-ish. You know what I mean? They were fat and I'm like, ugh. Shouldn't there be some kind of law that you're not allowed to be a fat personal trainer? I mean, shouldn't you, like, if you're bankrupt from trading stocks, shouldn't you not be able to trade stocks for other people? Or if you are a doctor and you've killed four people on the operating table, shouldn't you have to have a sign? I mean, oh my gosh. So there were some trainers who were really skinny and scrawny and didn't have many muscles, and a couple other were really out of shape. So I was perplexed. So I went back to pay attention. So I went to a different gym and I found a guy who looked exactly how I wanted to look. So I went up to him and I said, are you taking new clients? Cool. And I go, here's what I want. Tell me how to work out exactly how you work out. And tell me how to eat exactly what you eat. I mean, exactly. Now, obviously, in the beginning, if you're bench pressing 300 pounds, I'm not going to be able to do that. But I just want to model what you do. And he was like, cool. And I've been working out with him for 11 years now. And I'm not in amazing shape, but if you saw me then and now, you'd be significantly impressed with the difference. And I just do what he did. At 52 years old, I'm in pretty decent shape. But I paid attention, found someone who had what I want, did what they did. My friend Kalei graduated from Yale. Good school, right? Yale education costs a lot of money. All his buddies were going out and getting jobs for $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year. He went down to Wall Street because that's what he wanted to do. He went up to the three most successful brokers on Wall Street, sent him a letter, was able to get in and talk to him, and offered to work for them for a year as their apprentice or their protege or their lackey or whatever for no money, if he could just be around them every workday for a year. And all his friends laughed at him, like out of control, what a bonehead moron idiot he was. So he went, now how much would you pay someone who's that good to learn from them? First of all, they don't even teach, so it's impossible. And again, I'm not disrespecting teachers. Who's teaching economics class in a university? Is it Donald Trump? Is it Bill Gates? Is it Richard Branson? No, it's a really smart guy who went to school, loved school, had a passion for teaching other people, studied many theories about it, and now he's back in school teaching theories. He's not someone who went out and made millions of dollars normally. It's someone who understands it intellectually but never did it. How many would rather learn directly from a billionaire if you had the opportunity to do so? So pay attention. You want to learn how to snow ski? Go find someone who knows how to snow ski. Whatever you want to do, find someone. You have, this is another one, it kills me. I see people going, your friend going, what do you think I should do with my relationship? And I'm going, like, that dude's been divorced twice. Why are you asking him? Isn't that just ridiculous? Like, just find someone with a good marriage. There's two people I have in my life right now. They're older couples. And the gentlemen have become mentors for me with my relationship because they've been happily married for 40 years. I'm figuring they gotta know something. So pay attention. Other part of that, don't pay attention to people who don't have what you want. So for the lady who keeps going up to you ladies and telling you what you should do with your boyfriend or husband, and they haven't had a relationship since Reagan was in office, don't listen. Okay, for the person who's bankrupt and they've got business advice, or they're broke living paycheck to paycheck and they tell you what you're doing is crazy, don't listen. Free advice costs how much?
Nothing.
Nothing. Who's qualified to give free advice? Everyone. You know who loves to run their mouth? Everyone. People just, yeah, broke people love to talk. They can't do, the people that are, can do things are usually busy doing them, and the people who can't do them are usually busy talking about doing them. So I'm just sharing with you. I know you probably didn't think it would take me that long to explain. Pay attention. So pay attention. Second thing, get excited, which is a big thing as well. Like, a lot of people are trying to get people to do what you're doing, and you're like, no, but seriously? You've got to see what I'm doing. I am so excited about this. I'm telling you, I can't sleep at night. I'm so excited. This is the most phenomenal. Or hey, you want to go to the movie tonight? Hey, you want to go to a concert tonight? I just found out that Darius Rucker is playing over at the Red Rock Canyon. Man, we've got to go see that. About a month, two, 3 months ago, I called my buddies and I'm like, oh my God, have you seen The History of the Eagles? Have you seen that? It's on TV. It's a 2-hour movie, The History of the Eagles, 3-hour movie. Oh my God. And they're doing a tour right now, which is the History of the Eagles tour. We got to go. That was the phone call I made to my friends. Not, hey guys, did you see that there's a movie about the Eagles, The History of the Eagles? It's really exciting. And not only that, but hold on to your hats. They're playing a live tour right now. You're going to want to go and see that. Listen, if you're not excited about it, how is anyone else going to get excited about it? Again, I'll tell you the one thing about Steve Jobs, reading his books, he got so excited about stuff. They said that he had something called a reality distortion field. That's what everyone around him called it, a reality distortion field. You might want to lock into that one. Meaning that most people only believe something that's already been done. He didn't. He had this reality distortion field that when people said it was impossible. For example, how many of you remember the days if you're on your computer, in order to move your mouse, it went up and back and up. You had a little rolling deal up and back. He went into the office one day and he goes, oh my God, I just had this idea. We need to be able to create a mouse that you can go anywhere on the screen you want, anywhere, like a ball that just rolls around and goes anywhere. And his head engineer, who was a genius, goes, that's impossible. That is impossible. It's never been done. You can't do that. And he said, cool, you're fired, and brought somebody else in, which is his management style. But that's not the point. The point is he got so excited that other people got caught up and followed along with him. I mean, really super brilliant, talented people. You know what I mean? A lot of people said when he died, the whole company's going to crash. Notice how it ain't crashing, because when he went back for the second time, his whole thing was to surround people. He attracted the law of attraction. He attracted passionate, brilliant people who bought into the same vision. Get excited about what you're doing, because if you're not excited, no one else is going to get excited. And it's real easy to get excited about something that's proven. It's not real easy for most people to get excited about something that's not there yet. So especially if you're trying, like, when I got started building sales teams, I couldn't go up to people when I was making $500 a month and go, oh my God, I'm so excited to make $500 a month. And I couldn't lie and say I'm making $20,000 a month when I was only making $500 a month. So I used to talk about how excited I was about what we were going to do. You know, I was going to be at the top of this company. I was going to probably make $40,000, $50,000 a month. But in order to get there, I have to help at least, you know, half a dozen people make $10,000 to $20,000 a month. Now, I know it sounds unbelievable. I know it sounds pie in the sky. But I'm just telling you, that's what I'm going to do. And, I, you know, maybe you think I'm out of my mind. But I can assure you, I will either get to that rank or I will be dead on the way getting to that rank. One of those two things is going to happen. And the chances are I'm not going to die. So I'm going to get to that rank. So in order to get that rank, I got to help people. So do you want to be one of my people that I work with really hard to get your income to over $10,000 a month? And we weren't doing it yet, but I sold them on my vision of what the future could be like, and I was so stinking excited about it. See, there are some careers you can make up with enthusiasm what you lack in talent. Not all careers. Like as a doctor, that's not going to work. If you're super excited to operate on someone, but you haven't been to medical school, that's not going to work. But there's some careers, when you're marketing, promoting, and selling things, it really can make a difference. And the last thing is never quit. And that's the, my God, I mean, that's the rule. I think it was Dr. Norman Vincent Peale or one of those guys, could have been Dale Carnegie, said 80% of all failure comes from quitting. You know what I mean? It's people just give up. You know what I mean? How many of you have been to a marriage of a friend? Have you been? I just went to a marriage of our friend. My friend got married in Cyprus. Have you ever been to a Cypriot wedding? There were 3,000 people at the wedding. I'm like, what the, what? I mean, man, oh, man, oh, man. I mean, I had, like, some people at my wedding, but not no 3,000. I mean, think about what a wedding for 300 people cost. Oy vey. So anyway, you go to a wedding, and during the vows, pretty much, I've been to weddings now in many parts of the world, and they all say the same thing. You know, love for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, and sickness is health, till death do we part, right? Now, how many of you went to a wedding, saw your friends say those vows, and now, sometime into the future, they're both alive, but they're not together anymore. So what happened? You know, till death do we part, they're parted, but they didn't die. People quit. One time I was telling you, I was hanging out with George Bush because his friend invited me to see him. So I sat down, he was running the Texas Rangers, and he was drilling me. He's like, well, you know, there's a very high failure rate in that business. Very high failure rate. How do you explain so many people quitting? And I'm like, well, you know, Mr. Bush, you're the president of the Texas Rangers, right? Yep. Major League Baseball, right? The pinnacle, right? Mm-hmm. And what percentage of all the kids playing Little League Baseball make it to the major leagues? Silence. Well, my friend told me it's one out of every 20 or 30,000. So that means that, let's just call it 19,999 kids don't make it. So obviously baseball is a scam. It's a cult. It doesn't work. It's a ripoff. It's a pyramid. I mean, you know, it's like, again, it's like McDonald's. Has anyone not heard of McDonald's? I've been all over the world. There's like a McDonald's in Botswana. Like, there are McDonald's in places where there's like not, you know, nothing, but there's a McDonald's. So McDonald's has made a bloody fortune, right? And what have 99.9% of all the employees who ever worked at McDonald's done? They quit. So obviously, McDonald's is a failure. It's a failure. No, it's transient people that are not there, most of them, for a career type thing. They go in for a part-time deal. So again, it just stay the course. Success is not a sprint, it's definitely a marathon. It really, really is. I love in his book, Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell says, and if you don't, statistically speaking, an outlier is someone who has unusual success. And he studied people in many, many different areas. And he said, if you want to be an outlier, if you want to be remarkably successful, virtually every outlier at every study in anything, whether you were a concert pianist or you're a great surgeon, whatever, you were way better than the norm. Those people had all spent 10,000 hours doing it. So that goes back to, how could you possibly do something you don't love to do if you're going to spend, you won't spend 10,000 hours doing something you don't love to do. So if you find something you love to do and you spend enough time doing it, you have the possibility of being great at it. How did I become a speaker? I gave a lot of speeches, like 10 a week, 12 a week for 15 years straight. So after a while, either you make absolutely no money or you get decent. You know what I mean? So whatever you're excited about, just do it and do it and do it and do it and do it until it works. Action is so much more important than theory. I'd rather you do the wrong thing and do it frequently than, you know, if you walked up to people and said, hey, want to buy my product? It's expensive, but I need to make money. That's a really, really bad sales approach. But if you were to go up to 10,000 people and say, hey, you want to buy my product? It's really expensive, but I need to make money. That would be better than not calling anyone and telling them about the product. Saying something is always better than saying nothing. Real simple, real basic. So again, guys, I got to sort of wrap it up. First of all, I appreciate you coming to spend some time with me on vacation. I know you're here for a dream trip to have some fun. Are you enjoying the dream trip part of it?
Yeah.
Really nice place. You know, we have a pretty wonderful relationship with the general manager and the Venetian and the Palazzo are connected. So we're looking to do more and more stuff here. You know, there's obviously many nice properties in Vegas, so we're not only going to exclusively use these guys, but we definitely... they want our business, so hopefully, you know, you have a wonderful experience. If you don't, always let us know. We send a survey out whenever you go on a dream trip, so please be real honest with us on the surveys. If there's anything you don't like, please let us know, and if there's stuff you do like, please let us know. I mean, we are more than ever, our marketing team is really... really working on the data. You know what I mean? We want to know what your thoughts are. It's real simple. You find a need and fill it. If you tell us what you want more of, we'll be more than glad to figure out a way to work it into our trips as we move forward. But, you know, this is really what it's all about. You know, our company is about having peak life experiences. So again, you know, I will hang out here for until you guys take off, within reason. As like I said, I have to Skype someone in Singapore in a while. But if for next hour or so, if you want to hang out, if it only takes 12 minutes and you want to go drink instead and gamble, that's okay too. But if you want to hang out and go into things in a little bit more detail individually, that's fine. If I'm talking with someone and you want to talk to me, you may have to wait a few minutes. But if, you know, again, I'm just here to help out and serve you guys. Again, I've had pretty remarkable success in business and in life, but not because I'm real talented, just because I showed up every day. And I'll just leave you with this thought. Einstein said the compound interest is the most powerful force on earth. So we could get into a whole money thing right now. Kiyosaki says either you're a slave to money or money is your slave. But if you're collecting interest every month off your investments and bank accounts, then it's the most powerful force. But not interest, compound interest, having it in the bank for long periods of time. Or if you're paying interest on your credit card debt and you're paying it, I forget the debt consolidation loan, but it said if you have $8,000 in credit card debts and you make the minimum payment every month, how long does it take to pay it off? Do you remember that? 47 years to pay back $8,000, because the compound interest is working against you. Where on the other hand, if compound interest is working with you, it's remarkable what it can do. So it's the most powerful force on earth. Well, I just say that to say this. I believe compound efforts work the same way as compound interest. But just like I went to Madison Square Garden, how many hours do you suppose Ted Nugent played that guitar before I walked in and saw him play that night in Madison Square Garden? But you see, I didn't see any of that. All I knew was he was awesome. I wanted to do that. And then when I found out there was work involved, I got real depressed real quickly. So I'm just sharing with you, that happens to a lot of people. I'm going to speak a foreign language. Ooh, for the last 5 years in a row, because I used to have interest in nutritional products and stuff. I don't anymore. But 90 to 100 million Americans go on a diet every January 1st. Because New Year's resolutions, right? I'm gonna lose weight next year. And something like 89% of the people go on a diet are off of it by February 1st. If you go to gyms in January and you're a regular gym goer, it's horrible because it's mobbed. You can't even get near a treadmill. But by probably January 15th, it thins out quite a bit. And by February 1st, you're back to normal. And all I'm saying is people try for a little bit and then they give up. And that's just the way it is. So the biggest thing I could tell you from my success is I just kept going. And it's just understand this. It's not, you don't need to be spectacular. It's doing a little bit every day. If you want to be a great golfer, you just need to go and hit balls every day for an hour. You know what I mean? Or 4 days a week. If you want to lose weight, get on a treadmill. Walk on a treadmill, for God's sakes, for a half an hour, four times a week. You don't have to go in the gym and bench press the gym. You know what I mean? You lift light weights three times a week and remarkably muscles will start to pop up. You know what I mean? Again, there's just a lot of incorrect beliefs we have. Success is not something dramatic normally. It's boring, mundane, average things. I always tell people, if you're setting appointments for a living, I've never, you know, I've worked the phone many years of my life. I can't remember ever a phone call when I got off the phone and set up an appointment where 50 people burst up and went, yes, what a phone call, woo! Quite frankly, it's boring. It's not exciting, but you know it's exciting? The results. You know, setting up the appointments and getting the incentive trip that you win to Hawaii or getting the Mercedes or whatever, that stuff is fun and glorious, but it's the compounded effort over a long period of time, but you can't do that if you quit. It's not how much money you invest, it's how long you invest it for. It's not how good you're talented, it's how long you go and do the things you know you need to do. And the ironic thing is, the longer you do them, the better you get. So again, it's been a privilege to be here. Thank you so much for taking a few hours out of your trip to hang with me, and I will be here to hang out with you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.